Gabriel in California on 9:30 in Los Angeles. You're up next. Hello, Gabriel.
Hi, Jimmy. Hey, I've been aching to get this question off my chest, and
I don't get the, what is this, Jimmy? A word play? What?
Okay, I'll get right to the question. Okay.
There's a pun
about
here?
That awful pun.
I didn't pick up
the
on it.
Evil pun. Okay, the sacrament of holy matrimony, the husband and the wife become one.
One flesh.
One flesh. Now, Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit.
That title is used sometimes devotionally, yes.
So would it be okay to consider her part of the Trinity?
No. And thank you so much for the call.
So there are two issues here. First off, the title Spouse of the Holy Spirit is used devotionally. It's been used by a number of saints, and I'm sure it appears in some church documents. But it doesn't cause two marriage, even her marriage is unique in that she's properly speaking, in a literal earthly sense, the wife of Saint Joseph. And so the fact that she's also the spouse of the Holy Spirit in a different sense means that we're not talking about an ordinary marital situation here, the way, because normally women are not married to two different people at the same time. And so there has to be a way of understanding these relationships that is analogous to regular marriage, but is also is not simply the same as a regular marriage. And so there's one reason why there has to be some nuance in our approach to this question right there. The second is that the phrase that Scripture uses in talking about the oneness of spouses is that they become one flesh. And even that isn't the case in the sense that a wife's flesh becomes identical to her husband's flesh and vice versa, or they don't swap genes in such a way that they each have hybrid flesh, that every one of their cells contains 50% of the other person's DNA. Now, it's true that they become one flesh in several different senses, among them is in particularly when they have offspring. But if you look at the way the New Testament uses this phrase, it doesn't just apply to people who are married. It also applies to people who are just having who are having sex. And so the one flesh union is not something that results in two persons becoming the same person, or much less does it change the status of a creature to being uncreated. And that's one of the characteristics, one of the facts about the divine persons of the Blessed Trinity, is they are all uncreated. And so Mary does not become the person of the Holy Spirit, and she doesn't join the Trinity in any other way, because that would involve her becoming an uncreated person, and she's not. She's a created person. She came into existence at a definite point in space and time and did not exist prior to that. And did not exist from all eternity. So Mary is just fundamentally a created person, and therefore is incapable by that fact of being a member of the Trinity, which is a communion of uncreated persons.
The phrase
I understand.
St. Maximilian Kolbe, Mary as the quasi-incarnation of the Holy Spirit, is that in the same spirit, pardon the metaphor, as other titles like we read from St. Louis de Montfort and St. Francis of Assisi?
Well, it's in the same category in the sense it's a theological opinion of his. It's one way of that he attempted to articulate the role of Mary in the world, but you'll notice he's got the word quasi in there, and that means not the same as the incarnation of the Son of God.
It's more devotional than doctrinal.
That would be one way of articulating it. In any event, it is something that is not the same as the incarnation of Christ, and therefore Mary is not the incarnation of the Holy Spirit the way Jesus is the incarnation of the second person of the Trinity.
Gotcha. Did you get that, Gabriel?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the call. Jimmy.